Today I'm here with the gorgeous Marilyn Monroe lookalike. This is Jerry Mae James, but I want to call you Marilyn, but I'll call you Jerry Mae.
I've been called worse things.
She's so pretty. You are like the epitome of like feminism and beauty.
Thank you.
My goodness, I'm just like the whole office is so excited to meet her today. She looks exactly like Marilyn Monroe. And down to the dress and the mannerisms and like, do you dress like this every day?
Yes, I do. I find that I feel happier if I feel dressed up and ready to go.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. How old are you?
I'm 26.
And were you just born knowing that you were sort of just like a Marilyn in disguise as a little girl?
No, actually, I was born into a family that very much likes the, as they like to joke, low maintenance kind of gal. Girliness and sensitivity was not super valuable or valued, I should say. And so growing up as a sensitive little girly girl, it was quite tough, actually. But as I got older and I realized I could make choices for myself, I started to think, you know, dare I dress a little more vintage? Should I dye my hair? Should I pursue being glamorous? People are going to stare, but it just makes me happy. So, yeah.
That's such an interesting decision. Did you get to watch a lot of Marilyn movies as a child or vintage movies?
I actually never saw a Marilyn Monroe movie until I was late into college. I was, I think, first very starstruck by the actress Jane Russell.
Oh, yes.
She's in a Bob Hope movie that was very influential in my childhood.
Which one?
It's called The Son of Paleface.
Oh, okay.
And just seeing somebody so glamorous, and I thought to myself, why wouldn't, you know, I'm a woman. I mean, I was, I think, six, so I wasn't really a woman. But I was like, you know, if I could look like that every day, I'd love to try. So that was my biggest influence as a kid, was Jane Russell. And obviously, you know, Marilyn and Jane Mansfield, Mae West is another one I love very much, so.
Do you have any modern-day icons of women that you think embody femininity? And?
I do. I think the interesting thing about femininity is that it's very specific to each person. But, of course, if we're talking about actresses, I actually very much think Meryl Streep has quite a feminine touch. She can play very hard characters, but there's so much just woman energy behind her, and it's very powerful in a very sensitive way. Modern vintage icons, I would say Dita Von Teese is also a great example of femininity.
She is. She's gorgeous.
Who are yours?
Who are my beauty muses? I love Jackie O.
Okay.
I just love her elegance and simplicity and sophistication and just like always the right shade of lipstick, always the right outfit.
Very put together.
I love Angelina because the bone structure and the stage presence, that stage quotient. Who else? I love some of the older actresses like Jane Fonda, who is just so real and just holding it together like beautifully. And I really love like Sophia Loren, who's
Sophia Loren.
So feminine.
Love like, of my life.
Yes, right? Just beautiful. In my 80s idols, I loved some of the original supermodels who never had Botox or fillers but always rocked it. I love all those 80s girls like Paulina Porizkova.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, like the Linda Evangelistas and the Kate Mosses, like all of those original icons, right?
Oh, yeah.
Those kind of are in my head. And I think as an injector, as a plastic surgeon, like it's interesting to know when you go and choose someone to do your treatments, like what are their beauty ideals? And Marilyn, of course, is one of mine who I'm just like, I'm fascinated by Marilyn. When I look back at her images and I see that she was actually quite chubby by modern standards, quite normal by everyday woman standards, but like size 10 or 12 outfits, right? And like didn't have like that completely perfect figure.
Yeah, especially not by today's standards. I don't
know.
Our standards, though, they change so quickly. It's hard to keep up with.
Our standards are so difficult and ridiculous. Like, looking back at Marilyn, like, even in every movie, like, you can see her flaws on her actual body, but you don't even see the flaws because she just projects this confidence, glamour, and, like, you're captivated by her, the sense of her.
Yeah.
Right?
I think energy does a lot more than actual physical beauty.
Yes.
And it can cover things. Sophia Loren is a good example. She said something like, when you really look at me, my nose is crooked or it's too long and my teeth are too far apart and there's all these flaws, but it's the energy behind me that makes me so beautiful. And I think that's really relevant.
It really is, because I think women today judge themselves by such a harsh standard right. of beauty. And I see that all the time when people sit in my chair, the most fabulous, beautiful, cute, yeah. wonderful girl, and she'll just be tearing herself apart by the millimeter because this side of her lip is a little too right. high or too low, or this little angle is not just right. And I just wonder, like, we as women cannot condense ourselves right. down to these little measurements and perceptions of what is in magazines and
Absolutely.
In the media.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because I think... you know, on social media specifically, I don't know if it applies as much in film and television, but on social media, you know, you have just a little square mm-hmm. to project your sort of individual beauty. And so it does become very much about proportion and lighting and all those things. Whereas I think if you see someone in real life and you see the way their smile is a little crooked or, you know, mm-hmm. funny little things about them that make them really beautiful... it's hard to capture that on social media, I think.
It is that little charm, and yeah. Actually the fact that perfect symmetry is not always more beautiful.
Exactly.
Asymmetry is sometimes more beautiful.
Yeah.
And it is really hard, because when you see a photo, your eye becomes very analytical.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
you take away that charm factor. But
yeah.
what are some things that you do in your getting ready routine? So you've, in becoming this more of a Marilyn persona and embodying this femininity, you've changed your hair.
Yes.
So you've gone platinum blonde.
Yes.
How is the attention like with that?
It's been very interesting. I didn't always have it short. I actually had quite long hair, and I went platinum blonde just because I always told myself I would never look pretty with red lipstick or platinum blonde hair. So now I do both just to show myself that limitations that we put on ourselves are very much that. But when I first went platinum blonde, I mean, and my hair was very, very long, more Veronica Lake. It was just, I mean, the stares that you get and people coming up to you. It was actually very shocking to me, because I think I see, you know, especially in Los Angeles, you see platinum blonde hair or pink hair or,
yeah.
you know, a half-shaved head, and I don't even blink an eye. But it's very interesting how people, especially now with my hair being shorter and the fact that my hair does resemble Marilyn's, either they are very upset with me or they come up to me like they've known me their whole life. So it's a very interesting, kind of strange experience.
It must be so wild, because when she walked in, we were all starstruck. We're like, oh my gosh, she looks
no.
like Marilyn. It's so fun. So I imagine that strangers on the street, you go to your doctor's office, and the receptionist is probably like, what's happening here? Am I on TV or what?
Right. Yeah, it can be a little jarring sometimes, but as somebody who felt like they didn't have a lot of people in their corner growing up, it's kind of nice to feel like strangers look at you and see you and identify you, even though they assume I'm doing a Marilyn impersonation, which I'm not, but I do enjoy kind of meeting people this mm-hmm. way. I feel like it makes me approachable to them for some reason. So
yes, people must just walk up to you and tell you their life story and their
yes,
favorite
they do.
Movie and everything.
They do.
How long
sweet.
Does it take every day to put this look together?
Well, that's actually part of why I'm here, is that I'm trying to do more things that give me more time, so I'm not spending all my time in the beauty chair.
Yeah.
As much as I do love the art of doing makeup, it's time consuming, and I don't like worrying in my, I guess I'd call it industry, I don't know if it's much of an industry at this point, but shooting photos of yourself, you're always looking at yourself constantly, especially in the editing process, and I try not to use Facetune at all, but with, you know, dark circles or, you know, mm-hmm. little things like that, it can take longer to correct those things. So I would say typically to do a full face of makeup, I give myself about an hour.
Mm.
But I enjoy that time. I go slow. I could do it much mm-hmm. quicker. But
it's artistic.
It's yes. And I grew up wanting to be an artist. That was my general blanket statement. I want to be an artist.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Well, you do great work.
Look
oh, at this
thank
beautiful
you.
Makeup job.
Oh,
Did
gosh.
You have to study the Marilyn look quite a bit to kind of decide how to just curl your hair just right, how to get your brow arch? I mean, you're very authentic. Like,
thank you.
My gosh.
So sweet. Well, actually, I studied just 1950s makeup in general. I bought a copy of this 1950, I want to say 56 or 59, it was a beauty manual that was made. And it's hilarious, some things, but a lot of things haven't really changed. They talk about baking your face, for example. They don't call it baking, but, you know, they say cake your face in powder and then brush it all off, which I remember a few years ago people thought was revolutionary. So I really just kind of study that because I do very much like the classic. And I would say, I mean, with my makeup, I do see a resemblance to Marilyn, definitely. I also just try to do, I'm looking at myself in the mirror here, what I can to be as feminine and flattering to my own face structure as possible. I think I've seen, especially with, not to shade or name drop, but with the Kardashian trend, a lot of people are going for their facial features that might not fit those people's specific
Very
face.
Very true, yes.
So I really try to look for what would suit my face the best, and I hope I do okay.
Yeah, I think that as a doctor, an injector too, when I treat people's faces, they might show me a picture of some lips or a jawline or a cheek, but I don't want to just glue that asset onto them. We really need to make sure it works on their face.
Yeah. So that's what I spent most of my time studying, was like really looking at my face and saying, okay, if this is too long, what can I do to shorten it, and things like that.
Yeah. Well, it's been such a fabulous job
goodness.
That you've done.
Thank you.
How do you think the old Marilyn, the original Marilyn, would feel about today's world with beauty treatments, injectables, lip filler? Do you think she'd be a fan?
That's an interesting question. I
mean, we know she did plastic surgery. She altered her forehead position and her hairline.
Really?
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
We know that. Yes, we do know that. Yes.
Wow.
So Marilyn Monroe, if you look back at her adolescent photos just before she became quite popular, she had a different hairline. So people theorize, and I think some people have found that she elevated her hairline a little bit. She narrowed her bridge of her nose. And there might have been a couple other things that that she might have done.
That's so interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so she did get a little glammed for Hollywood.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is, old Hollywood glamour was just that. It was very much about the glamour and the fantasy and this idea that these stars were almost otherworldly. So I can't speak for her, but I assume, you know, anyone that uses cosmetics, I don't see much of a difference, really.
Yeah, I think your body is yours. It's your vehicle to take for the next 80 years and do whatever you want as far as, like, you know, body decorations with piercings and makeup and body art and tattoos.
Yeah.
It's all kind of the same. As long as it's safe and it's going to get you where you want and express your avatar of who you want to be.
Yeah. I've had people tell me that I'm not being original because I'm going for a more retro look instead of creating something absolutely new, which I don't think there really is anything absolutely new. I feel like everything is kind of recycled. But something I always say and I very much believe is we're given a blank canvas, and if you are okay just having a canvas, that's fine. But if you want to paint on it that isn't something to look down upon, it's not ruining a canvas. Does that make sense?
It's adding your individuality to it, actually.
Yeah, I think it's making it more personal.
If anything, yeah.
Yeah, because it's saying, you know, this is what I have and look what I can make with it, you know?
How fun would it be if this trend came back in style and we were all, like, super elegant every day?
Oh, how amazing
would that be? I love this elegance in the 1950s, 60s, just the beautiful clothing and, you know, pearls, simplicity.
Yeah, I was going to say, your pearls give me very much the vintage vibe. They're beautiful.
Yeah. Well, that would be a great new trend because we've gone through so many trends.
Yeah.
And, like, I think one day classicism is going to return.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that's nice, too, is I've spent too much of my life wearing things because I didn't even know why. It just seemed like that was what was popular. And then you look back and you go, gosh, what was I wearing?
What was I wearing? Yes.
So it's nice now I choose things that I say, you know, this will still be beautiful to me in 30 years.
Yeah, everything classic. Yeah. Is it hard to date as Marilyn?
Well, I'm fortunate that I...
Because you never leave this persona. This is you.
Yeah, this is me.
This is you. So what do you guys say to that?
Well, fortunately, I've never
or
really
gals,
had to find out. I've been with my boyfriend for 10 years. Almost 11 years, so he's been with me the whole
time.
Does
he look like Clark Gable?
He actually very much does look like a mix between Marlon Brando and Gene Kelly, I think.
Really?
And he would roll his eyes because he doesn't agree with me, but I've had some of my Instagram followers mention that as well, so I'll take it. That's a compliment to me, I think.
Well, so you haven't had to go to the dating world, so that's a relief.
But. Yeah. I know. I would be kind of worried about what I would find there. I think it could be a little strange.
Do you have concerns as aging approaches? You're 26. You have nothing to worry about for a good 20 years, but... But I started Botox around 27, 28, and then I just maintained it, and then you can see.
Yeah.
Don't really get too many lines, so prevention is great.
Yeah.
So that might be a good strategy for Marilyn and for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely pro, you know, anything you can do to maintain the way you feel that you should look, if that makes sense. I was thinking about it. I was looking at some of the flyers here talking about aging and everything, and I think as we get older, at least for me, I get more confident and more sure of myself. And it's sad that for some people, when they finally feel confident is when they're no longer their most physically, mm-hmm. I guess, ideal for themselves. And so I think it's amazing that if you can postpone the aging process and be as beautiful as you've always been and meet it with that confidence that you find later in your 20s, 30s, and so on. I'm for it. So
that's wonderful. Yeah. Well, you're very mature. You said you were 13 going on 30.
Yes, always. Always. All my whole life.
But that's a real truth, because you're your most beautiful in your 20s, and then you don't have the confidence at all to go with it until you're like 35, you know?
Right.
So to be able to prolong that anti-aging, you know, that really great look of your best assets showing up is important.
I mean, even in my 20s, I look at photos and I remember thinking, oh, I thought I was so ugly here. And I look at it now and I go, look how cute.
I wish I should have been nicer to that
exactly.
girl.
And so I think it just gives us a little bit more time to appreciate ourselves.
That's so true. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast. You are the epitome of femininity and beauty.
That's so sweet.
And I love that vibe that you're projecting into the Instagram universe. You guys have to check her out. What are your handles where they can find you?
It's Jerry, J-E-R-I underscore M-A-E underscore James. And then another underscore
there
on
you have
Instagram
it.
And Twitter.
We will tag her in some of our posts so find her. And what is this fabulous shade of red that you're wearing?
Oh. Because
you must have researched Marilyn's red.
Oh, goodness. No, actually, this is brand new. Bessame Cosmetics just released a line of nail polishes that match their lipsticks.
Oh, I love
it. I'm not wearing the matching lipstick today, but I do love the new nail polish.
Love it. And my Instagram, you can check me out doing amazing things with gorgeous, fabulous faces, and now the beautiful face of Marilyn and Jerry May at beautybydrk.com. I'm going to send you home with some of our great skincare too,
which
I don't know what you're using to preserve all your great assets, but I definitely recommend our vitamin C serum. You're going to try some of my new products as well, stem cell growth factor, and I think it'll really help preserve, immortalize beauty.
I can't wait. Thank you.
That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.